Soon we too will be there. He has gone to prepare a place for us and will surely come again. He will come again to take his own to himself so that we may be where he is. That is certain. He's coming again. He's coming again soon. We expect his return in this generation. I do. I am 100% certain that Jesus Christ will return in my lifetime. The signs of the times tell us so. And Holy Scripture does not deceive. The word cannot be broken. Everything points to this. And we are glad that this is so. And that is why it is really necessary to be torn away from the earth. Before I continue to witness this service, I would like to remark that I was deeply pleased to hear the instrumental music. I would like to encourage you, dear musicians and others who do not yet play but are talented, to do what you can for the glory of the Lord. I could have remained seated and said, keep playing. And I would have liked to say to Brother Rus, come and sing and let them play until we are truly in the Spirit of God. Music is something wonderful when it is done in the name of the Lord and for the glory of the Lord. You all know that in the time of Saul, even the demons fled when David began to play his harp. I enjoyed it. I really enjoyed playing. Many will feel the same way, especially those who are not musical. But nevertheless, thank you very much. And may everyone play along with all the songs. I have now experienced it in Australia. You can judge for yourselves. But I thought it was good. In Brother Frangos' congregation, everyone who had whatever they had, three accordions and lots of other musical instruments, old and young, everyone sang and played to the Lord. It was just like in the old days, and that's how it should be again. How wonderful that we don't have a dead form. It would be terrible if we had to worry about doing everything the way it should be done. We are free here to serve the Lord. We don't come here just to organize a kind of service. We come here to worship God, to sing to Him, to play for Him, to thank Him, to have fellowship with Him, to hear His word, to experience Him. We come here with the one desire that God will reveal Himself to us. And that can begin with those sitting in their chairs, singing along when choruses and songs are played here. And you will see the Spirit of God will feel at home and come down. Hearts will open and we will be blessed together. These were indeed moving testimonies and experiences of what God has done. Surely someone may say that traveling is strenuous, and that is true. But Paul writes to the Romans in chapter 10, how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach to them unless they are sinned. And so we thank the Lord and you for your prayers and for all your faithful support of His work. How grateful we are to be able to live in a time when distances no longer matter. If someone like Livingstone wanted to go to Africa 100 years ago, or anyone to go to China, they would have been traveling for 6 or 8 weeks or more. Today, you sit in a nice aeroplane, the best type, and fly for 11 hours and 45 minutes and get off in Hong Kong. Then you fly again for 7 hours and a few minutes and get off in Manila. And then you fly again and get off. God simply allowed it to be this way, so that in the end there would be opportunities for the word to be preached to all peoples, tongues and nations. We truly give everything for this word, as our beloved brother Miskis has expressed it. The word means everything to us. Jesus is the Word, and we are connected to Him, deeply connected to Him, through the Word, Blood, and Spirit. This is the divine testimony, water, blood, and Spirit. This is the testimony of the Church, redeemed through the one divine blood, cleansed with the washing of water by the Word, guided by the Holy Spirit, who still leads us into all truth today. As I said, the greetings I have given you. Now let us look into the Word. Every time we read from Revelation, a special reverence comes over us. I don't know if you feel the same way as I do, but when you read in the book of Revelation, there's truly revelation and revelation again. And as soon as we begin to read, our hearts burn, because God has graciously given us access to revelation through revelation. No one can give this to themselves unless it is given to them by God. But if God gives it, then no one can take it away from us. And those to whom God reveals Himself remain steadfast in all storms and persevere to the end. Somewhere we talked about the love of God, and a brother asked me why it is that sometimes love only lasts for a time and then is no more. And then it came out of my mouth quite spontaneously, as it is in my heart. And I said, then it was not the love of God. If something stops somewhere, something that you think is from God, then it is not true. The Holy Scriptures say in 1 Corinthians 13 that love never ends, never ceases, just as God cannot cease. And He loved His own to the end. He is love. God is love, and whoever is in God loves, under all circumstances, at all times, not when it suits or does not suit, but truly, always and forever, because love never ceases. Thanks be to God for that. Here, in Revelation 19, we have this tremendous event before us. Yes, many details are listed here of what will happen in the last period of time. The destruction of Rome, of course, the city of the seven hills, which the whole world knows of, which calls itself the Eternal City. In Revelation 18, it is said three times that it will be destroyed in 1 hour. It says here in Revelation 18, verse 10, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. In a single hour, if you would like a clearer description of which city is meant, read verse 16 with me. And saying, Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, for in 1 hour so great riches is come to naught. I read years ago in the Spiegel magazine that no one can estimate the wealth of the Vatican. It is simply not feasible to estimate this. I myself visited the treasure chambers in Peter's Basilica three times in the 60s, when you could still go in without paying. Today, outsiders are no longer allowed in, but what use is a certain Jesus statue made of gold to me? What use are all the pearls? And anyone who has seen it with their own eyes, like shop windows on a main street where only big business people shop, one shop window after another, each one more pomp and more valuable than the last. Gold and treasures of every kind that cannot be found anywhere else on earth. Everything is there, and here God gives us the description in His Word. We are very grateful for this, because it refers to the last days, especially in this time when everything is returning to the womb of this great organization. God is calling His people out with a mighty voice, so that they will have no part in its plagues. But I want to tell you clearly, in the name of the Lord, whoever has a part in their teachings, in their practices, will have a part in their plagues. Only those who break away and expose what is wrong, who turn to God and let truth be truth, and are ready to draw the ultimate conclusion for the sake of truth and for the truth, will God reveal Himself to. He will come out and leave the old leaven behind with all its trappings. You all know, I have finished writing the book so far, and one often thinks with pain of the reckoning, of the seduction of all these many people. Then I thought of a picture in which this Vicarius was carried aloft on this throne, and in comparison I thought of my Lord, who rode into the city on the foal of an ass. Now imagine the difference. Here the Lord and Master, on the foal of a donkey, not even on a noble-looking riding horse, but on the foal of a donkey that could hardly carry a man, humble, simple. And this man allows himself to be honored and cheered. The whole world does it. That made a particular impression on me. I was in New York at the time, and I had a television in my room. I had one for 5 days in a room, and didn't turn it on once, because I simply have no connection to it. I don't like it. And by the way, I had my manuscript with me. But back then, in New York, I turned it on to watch Gorbachev and Reagan, and then Reagan's visit in London during his stopover. And what can I tell you? After this program, which was very important to me, for he said, I believe that Gorbachev is sincere and means well for his people. I was pleased that Reagan said that. But then came the program about the Pope's visit to the Jewish synagogue in Rome. And that made me feel sick. I quickly fetched my camera because I wanted to take pictures. Unfortunately, the flash simply didn't work. But you won't believe it. If I hadn't seen it myself, you wouldn't believe it. This man was dressed like Santa Claus, wearing the full costume. But the Jew was dressed similarly. He too was dressed in a kind of costume. And do you know what the Jews were singing? Psalm 150. They were singing Psalm 150. When this man came in, they were beside themselves with jubilation and joy. I thought to myself, my God, if only I could, I would go and say, people, you have mistaken this man for the Messiah. But the time has not yet come for their eyes to be opened. Oh, what sorrow befalls one. I say it again. If I had not seen and heard it with my own eyes, I would not have been able to believe it. Cheering and excitement, swinging back and forth, singing Psalm 150. Brother Rus just said, as if God had arrived. Well, please don't let me slip into politics, and not into religious politics either. But these are things that need to be remembered. If something is dealt with in the Bible, then we must also deal with it. Then it has nothing to do with politics, but with the fulfillment of end-time prophecy. And when Revelation 13:8 says that this man will deceive the whole earth, all whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, slain from before the foundation of the world, then that is his task, and then he shall fulfill his task, but not against the people of God, not against the church. But you know that the word will also have to be fulfilled, that the covenant will then be made with Israel for 7 years. When I think about all this, I am overcome with sorrow and pain, that all this will still be part of the last part of the plan of salvation. How happy we will all be, how we will breathe a sigh of relief when the whole drama comes to an end, and we can then be with the Lord and sing the song of the Lamb with the words, Great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. I believe it will be a second redemption. This was the redemption of the soul that we have experienced, and that will be the redemption of the body, taken out of bondage, out of corruption. And as it is written in Romans 8, that we ourselves, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, and listen, who we have the first fruits of the Spirit, that's how it's written. We groan within ourselves, the others cannot. Beloved, it is absolutely necessary to receive the Spirit of God, to be sealed. And that is the first fruits, for the first fruits. And if you go into the Old Testament, the first fruits were woven by the high priest and presented to the Lord. And the 144,000 will then be the first fruits from Israel. But we are the first fruits from all peoples, tongues and nations. I am reading this verse so that you know that it's also written this way. And then we will come back to the book of Revelation. It is Romans chapter 8. I just want to find the direct verse so that I don't have to read too much. Perhaps I will find it when I read from verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. No, I mean another verse. Yes, of course, here it is, verse 23, one paragraph too deep, verse 23. And not only they, that is creation, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. We are redeemed in hope. Our souls are transformed by God's grace. Our hearts are renewed. But the body, as a temple, is still here. And when the Spirit of God is in us as a first fruits, then a sighing begins, a waiting, and we say, Lord, how long will it take? May God grant us the grace that in the last round, the last ones will truly be sealed with the Holy Spirit for the moment of the redemption of our bodies. Let us quickly return to Revelation 19. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. Today the enemy still has many tasks to perform, to cause mischief and so on. But then only one will reign, only one will have a say, and that will be the Lord God. We, as the redeemed multitude, will sing, rejoice, and praise the Lord in heaven, in glory. And we will begin with a great hallelujah to the glory of our God. Then verse 2, For true and righteous are his judgments, for he has judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and has avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. Anyone who reads chapter 18, the last part of verse 23 and verse 24, will read, For by thy sorceries were all nations deceived, and in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. One cannot even begin to imagine how entangled everything was and still is today. But thanks be to the living God, who kept his own even when they had to die as martyrs, and was with them until the end, and until they came from believing unto seeing. It will be the same with us. But here it says, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication. What is fornication in the earthly and in the spiritual? Everyone vies for favor. And here it says, which did corrupt the earth, and has avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Hallelujah, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. Here we have certainly the word eon would have been more appropriate here. On the new earth, in the new heaven, no more smoke will rise. Not in the sense of eternity, but in the sense of eon. The smoke will rise until the end of the last eon. But this, as Brother Rus just said, is the reckoning. God will settle the score, and we are happy for all those who are being celebrated and cheered in the meantime. Let them enjoy it while they can. The reckoning is coming. It is coming for sure. We do not rejoice in the reckoning, not at all. If we rejoice in anything, it is that people will come out of this spiritual prison, and that God will do something that will strike like a bomb, that there will be a great noise in the house of God, and the doors of the prisons will open, and those who belong to God will come out and be laid out with all power. Oh yes, it will come. It will come. Here in verse 4 it says, And the 24 elders and the 4 living creatures fell down and worshipped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Hallelujah. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. God cannot do anything with a person who does not fear God. The beginning that God makes with us is reverence for his word, a true reverence for him, the living God. Here not only servants are mentioned, but all who fear him, both small and great. And here we think of the word of the prophet Malachi, which refer precisely to this text concerning those who fear God. Malachi chapter 3, verse 16. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. Hallelujah! Praise and honor be to his glorious name. When those who feared the Lord gathered together and spoke to God, a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord. Let us always meet God with reverence, offering him the necessary homage and holiness. Here it says, For those who fear the Lord and hold his name in high esteem. Here too we can be thankful that God has helped us. We do not only use his name to cast out devils and pray for the sick, but we also revere his name and have confessed his name and been baptized in his name, to become one with him, to rightfully bear his name, the name that is above all names. Hallelujah! Glory be to our God. Not just half-heartedly, but with all our hearts, with all our souls, with all that we are and have, we belong to the Lord, for he has purchased us completely. It continues here, and they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, hallelujah, they shall be a special possession to me. Here we see the jewels in heaven, in glory, namely those who truly feared God, both small and great, and they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. What word does this scripture remind us of? 2 Corinthians. I will read it to you now. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 17 and 18. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Here, in the prophet Malachi it says, as a father deals gently with his son, so God will deal gently with his people on that day. Which sons will he spare? With those who serve him, who remain faithful to him, who do not just say, Lord, Lord, but who mean it, who are connected to God, who walk in his ways, who truly love him from their hearts, who have taken in his word, who seek connection with him, who long to be blessed with all the blessings of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. Here our God says, and they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. Yes, they are special and will be his jewels. And I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Please do not take this too personally in relation to me or others. But sons who are disobedient can cause a father much heartache. Sons who are obedient can prolong their father's life. They can bring him joy. God is not interested in sons who go their own way and do not serve him. God wants to have sons who serve him, sons and daughters, according to the scripture, my son, give me your heart. God wants the hearts of his sons and daughters. He wants to put them in his service. This does not mean preaching, but truly serving the Lord, where he has placed us. Brother Kupfer will certainly not be angry with me if I mention the testimony. He writes a letter to a man he met and spoke to and encloses some brochures, and this man doesn't know what to do with them. And lo and behold, and he even spoke of them, but then a visitor comes to his house, and the visitor reads and becomes familiar with these brochures. And this visitor calls Brother Kupfer and says, listen, this is the right thing. God sometimes has ways and means. We do not know when, where and how. But let us be guided by the Spirit of God. I have already said it here. What means nothing to one person can mean everything to another. The testimony from Bahrain on the Persian Gulf, where someone took one of our brochures out of a rubbish bin and found the way to salvation. The brother in Syria in the hotel who says, "Can you tell me how the brochure got there?" God has ways and means. Sometimes there are believers who do not have the courage to leave a tract here or there or to give it to someone personally. They just put it down somewhere. Perhaps your conscience pricks you and you say, "I have been cowardly." It doesn't matter. God can send another coward, and right where you left the thing, He can grab it and take it with Him, and the Lord can make everything right. God absolutely has ways and means to lead His own out, wherever they may be. Verses 18 in Malachi 3. "Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not." And do you see the connection here? Right after this verse, it says, "For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud and all that do wickedly shall be stubble." Do you see how wonderfully the Spirit of God has arranged and given us all this? First, the God-fearing are mentioned, who will then be with the Lord, and then the day of the Lord, which will come and burn like an oven, in which the proud and wicked will meet their end. May God bless us. Be with us, help us to become more faithful, become more intimately connected with Him, that our lives may become a reflection of His glory, and that we may all have a new experience with God. No wonder that the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down to worship God and pay homage to Him, the one who sits on the throne with the words, "Amen, Hallelujah." And a voice came out of the throne saying, "Praise our God, all ye His servants, and ye that fear Him, both small and great." And this is the time when the thunders will also sound, and so on. You only need to read the next verse. The sequences in the Holy Scriptures are so wonderful, so powerful. When you have open eyes and look into the Holy Word with an holy anointing, then everything falls into place, without anything being out of balance anywhere. Our God has provided for everything, including ensuring that His holy and pure word goes out to the whole world. I was glad to hear the testimony of our beloved brother Miskis. Nothing is more comforting than knowing that we are not proclaiming an idea or an interpretation, but God's original word. And come what may, that is the absolute truth. We have received the connection to the truth through the Spirit of truth, because we have been begotten and born again from the Word of truth and through the Spirit of truth unto a living hope. We have the same life, the same spirit, the same nature. Everything else must bounce off us. Thy word remains forever. How wonderful that the Lord, the word bridegroom, will have a word bride. All glory be to His name forever and ever. Amen. Let us stand and pray. Precious Lamb of God, we come to You because You bore the sin of the world. You took my guilt, all our guilt, upon yourself. You let yourself be slain for us. Precious Lamb of God, honor, praise and glory be to you for the redemption accomplished on the cross of Calvary. Beloved Lord, with your holy blood, you entered the heavenly sanctuary. You offered it on the mercy seat to intercede for us as a faithful high priest. Beloved Lord, you have done everything. Grant us grace to serve you, to come before you in reverence, and to appear before you in reverence in every service. Sanctify the place where your word is preached, where your people gather, and where your blessing descends. Beloved Lord, come upon your people in a new way through an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. May the power of the word and the blood and the spirit be effective among and in your people. Beloved Lord, thank you for calling us out. You have opened our eyes. We thank you from the bottom of our hearts. Beloved Savior, accept us all and bless us from the riches of your grace. To you, the living God, be praise and honor, glory and worship forever and ever. You will settle accounts with everyone, as we have read. You will judge and pronounce judgment. Beloved Lord, we are pardoned people. We must not and cannot judge. You are the living God, judge and King. You have the right to judge. O God, praise and honor be to you. Beloved Lord, may it please you to visit us in your grace. Truly grant us a mighty roar from heaven, like a mighty wind that sweeps through. Bless this place. Bless all who preach your word, all singers, all players. All may you bless, faithful God. Lord, may your house be a house of prayer for all nations. May it be a place where you answer prayers, where you bless, where you save, heal, and baptize with spirit and fire, and seal all who belong to the first fruits. Beloved Lord, accept us all and be with us by grace. In Jesus' name, amen.